Take your Bibles, if you would, and let's open the Word of God to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at a familiar verse. This morning, just one verse of Scripture as we begin the message. We'll focus on the content of this verse. We will use some other verses to kind of reinforce this great truth. But we'll be in verse 8, Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 8 as we begin. So if you found your place, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We'll have prayer and then we'll read verse 8. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we look to your Word today, we certainly ask that you'd bless the reading of Scripture today. Use it to stir and touch our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for the precious, powerful, personal Word of God. And we ask that you'd use it in our lives, Lord, in a personal way. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray you'd be our teacher and guide, and we pray you'd apply the Word to our lives today. Speak to us, Lord, and teach us as only you can. And help us with wisdom and discernment, Lord, to be able to take the things that we hear and learn today and apply them directly to our lives, that we would know what you'd have us do as we live for you down here in this world below. We pray you'd bless, Lord, today, this time in the Word. I pray you'd use it to bring about your will in our lives. We pray you'd be honored and glorified in all that takes place. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." What a promise. What a promise. So the Bible tells us, as we observe to do God's word, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We've been in a series on Sunday morning entitled Words from God's Word. We're kind of using the alphabet as our guide, which brings us to the letter S. And this morning, our word is the word success. Success. Aren't you glad to know that it's found in God's Word and explained that you and I, as a believer, we might be successful in our Christian lives? Thank God for that. Thank you. You may be seated. Success. It's a powerful thought, isn't it? As we look around our world today, we find that success is held in high esteem. Success is highly regarded. But if you've been trying to achieve it, you know that success is also somewhat elusive. It seems to be hard to get to sometimes. The truth is, everyone wants to be successful. Nobody wants to be a failure. In order to be successful, you must know what success is and the actual steps or components to achieve it. What is success exactly? How do you actually become successful? Perhaps you've considered these questions. But these are just a couple of questions many ask in their pursuit of success. Part of the problem to achieving success is that there is so much information out there on success that you can get lost in the details. But for the believer, God tells us everything we need to know about success in His Word. He tells us what it is and how to achieve it. In order to achieve success as a believer, there are a few steps you have to follow. Now, I want you to understand, as we look at Joshua 1:8, this is the only time that success is mentioned in the Bible. Now, if we were to look at success from the world's point of view, then you would think there must be whole chapters dedicated to the idea of success. Now, there are stories and there are verses that speak to the idea of success, but this is the only place where it's directly mentioned. Well, that's because God gave us everything we need to know right here. Unlike the world, you won't get lost in the details of God's idea of success. And so as we look at Scripture, we break down what God gave us so that we can understand it, apply it, and live it to be truly successful as the Lord God intended for us to be. If you want to find success, I said there's a couple of steps, and it's really just a couple. First, I want you to understand this morning that success must be framed. Success must be framed. Now, the world will tell you, if you want to be successful, then you first have to define success. Now, when the world says that, they mean your definition, because they come to the subject with the idea that everyone has their own version of success. And so to back up that belief, they'll give you an example and they'll say, well, say for example, you look at someone who is successful and you think, hey, I would like to be successful. And so you do exactly what they did, only to arrive at their destination and think within yourself, ugh, this isn't what I want. Why did I do this? This doesn't feel like success at all. Well, I guess that's how you would feel if you were out of place in that area of success, whatever it might be. I could understand that for someone maybe who was a hands-on person. Maybe they needed to be, a construction worker or a carpenter because they like the outdoors and like to work with their hands. And that person, if I saw them maybe stuck behind a desk in an office with no window, you know, I might understand why they would feel out of place in that path. And you get the idea. So the world says you got to define success first. What is success for you? And then once you know what success is, well, then you can go ahead and you can pursue it. And it'll be right for you. I guess they say that because if you get a dictionary and look up the word success, you read the definition of success and it reads this way. The dictionary says, success is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. The accomplishment of an aim or purpose. Now that doesn't sound at all like what we picture in our mind when we think of success. I guess that's because in our day, when we think of success, you know, we think of someone who is, you know, someone wealthy, someone maybe well-known, popular. We think of someone who has things, they have possessions. They got a nice car, a nice home, maybe a nice job, something we would think of as very secure, stable, satisfying. And we look at all those things and we say, okay, that is success. Well, the definition is a little vague. The accomplishment of the aim or purpose. And I guess if you go back to the world's idea, you would have to know what your aim and your purpose is so that you can pursue what is success to you. Or at least that's the way they teach it. And before you can attain this accomplishment of the aim or purpose that you intend, you have to define what the aim or purpose is. It still kind of leaves you lost, doesn't it? I remember being a student in school, we'd have career day and people would come in. And you know, as they presented this job and that job, I'd be like, no, not that one, no, not that one. And I thought, well, while they have jobs on parade, that's really nice, but they never really had anybody come in to help you figure out what your gifts and abilities are, what kind of a job you need to pursue that would fit the framework, you know, of your talents and your personality and things like that. And so career day was really nothing more than just a job fair, just a parade of ideas. And if you didn't find one that fits you, well, you were just kind of left hanging. You were left in the shadows, to figure it out on your own. And I'm glad God's word doesn't do that. God wants every Christian to be successful. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks of the victorious Christian life. God paints a picture where His children rise above circumstances and challenges, temptations and trials, and we live victoriously. And how do you do that? Well, I think it's all embedded in this idea of success. So we understand that success first has to be framed. We have to know what it is. We have to understand what we're talking about. Number two, success must be formed. Once you know what your aim or purpose is, then you have to figure out what are the steps that will take me to fulfilling that aim or purpose. So, for example, if your aim or purpose, your definition of success is some office job or whatever, you got to figure out, okay, now how do I get there? So maybe it would require an education. And you see that some of those steps include the pursuit of a degree in school. Maybe that job requires some certifications. And maybe that's more schooling, or maybe that's some kind of hands-on training or internship that would follow. And you have your education and your certifications. Okay, now you're in the realm of what would be qualified for that job, and now you have to go and actually seek it out and find an opportunity within that window that you've chosen. Success must be formed. This has to do with the actions that you take to pursue success. So if that example were true for you, if the success in your mind was this certain job, and you knew that it required an education, but you didn't do anything to achieve the education. Or maybe once you got to school, you didn't do your work. You didn't do your homework. You didn't do the assignments. You didn't do the required reading. You know what that would cause. It would cause you to begin to fail the tests. You'd get bad grades because your assignments would be incomplete or not accepted at all. And you would never get to the goal of the job, because you didn't do what was required. You didn't take the steps that would lead there. So we're saying that success has to be formed. We're talking about the habits or the actions that you have to take to move you from where you are to where you want to be. John Maxwell said, "The secret to success is found in what you do daily." Again, he's referring to those steps, those actions that are required to bring you to a place of success. Now, he's speaking from experience, because John Maxwell, by his own testimony, he has certain things that he does that helps him achieve the things that he's accomplished. And I think most people, when they look at him, they would say he's a successful man. So what he's saying is, the secret to my success is found in what I do daily. And if you read some of his things, you can figure out what that is. Now, what he does daily may be a little different than what you need to do daily, but the truth here embedded for us is that we have to do the things that bring us to the place that we long to be. Your daily habits must be those which would support the aim or purpose that you have chosen. Now, I've given you some very specific things about success this morning. If we closed in prayer, said the final amen, you are armed with enough information to go out of this room and be successful today in the world's eyes. But some of y'all are looking at me still a little confused. And maybe you're thinking, well, preacher, that still kind of sounds a little vague, you know. Not really detailed. Aren't you glad that God puts the nut on the right bolt? He dots the I's and he crosses the T's. And he puts the period and the exclamation point exactly where it needs to be. God is not going to leave us hanging this morning. This verse tells us everything we need to know, and it covers all of what I've just mentioned about success. Ultimately, we find in God's Word, success, number three, has been foretold by the Lord. You know, we don't have to go to the world to figure out success. We don't have to be stuck in the classroom of, vague ideas. We don't have to follow behind someone else. We can look at what God said about success, and you and I would know then how to achieve it. It's found here in Joshua 1:8. When we talk about the Lord giving us the information in Scripture, He has foretold this idea of success and everything that we need to know to achieve it. For example, the Bible tells us what it is. Now, I'm talking about the definition of success, not like the one you get out of the dictionary that still sounds vague and doesn't really say anything specific. God's Word says things very specific, and you and I, we won't be left wondering when we read it. God's Word tells us about success. Not only does that mean what it is, but the Bible tells us where to find it. It gives us the source for success. And then the Bible also tells us how to achieve it. Who can achieve it? It tells us the candidate for success. Hey, did you know not everybody is successful? But according to God's Word, every believer can be successful. And so what determines whether a person is successful or unsuccessful? Well, I'm going to tell you today, it's not their bank account or their address. It's not their zip code. It's not their social status or the kind of work they do. It's not how much money's in their retirement program or what company they work for. It has nothing to do with your title or position in life or at work. God's Word gives us clarity on all of these things because success has been foretold in the Scriptures. As we look at Joshua 1:8, look what it says. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And so God is telling us that we need to get to know His Word. Why? Because everything we need is in here. And so if you want to be a candidate for success, then you need to become a student of the Word. Read the Bible, study the Bible, think about what the Bible says, because that is what's going to lead you to the success that you long for. The Bible tells us in Joshua 1:8 that as we meditate therein day and night, as we contemplate what God's Word says, it tells us that the reason for that meditation and the reason for that contemplation is so that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That word observe doesn't mean just to consider or look at. That word observe means to obey. It means to carry out, to fulfill. The word observe here is talking about action that we may observe. And I'm glad for clarity, he gave us the next two words, observe to do according to all that is written therein. So then he says, we're to learn God's Word and we're to know God's Word so that we can do what God's Word says. And then after that, we have this great affirmation. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. You might underline that word and you might write in the margin of your Bible or in your notes if you're taking them this morning that this is the word prosperous is not only financial. As Americans, we think of prosperity as a financial word, but it's not always. There's an aspect of prosperity in life that doesn't come from our salary and our income. It's not withheld in our bank account. The kind of prosperity that God talks about, that affects us, our lives and our children, our families. We can be prosperous, and it doesn't always have to refer to a financial well-being. But he says, when we do what God's Word says, then we'll make our way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, what? Success. Success. Then shalt thou have good success. You see, God here in Joshua 1:8 is defining success for us. And he's not saying it in vague terms like the dictionary. The accomplishment of the goal. No, God is saying success is obedience to His Word. You see, that's very specific. God says if you want to be a success in life, if you want to be a success as a believer, then you get good at doing what the Bible says. If you want to be prosperous in your life, if you want yourself and your family to be blessed, then you become a doer of the Word. You get good at doing what God said. You see, in Joshua 1:8, we're finding the definition of success is doing God's will on earth. We find God's will in His Word. The Bible teaches us what God wants The things that God wants for mankind, that is what we refer to as His will. We're not talking about a will like a last will and testament. These are the things that God left for you, these privileges and possession. No. We're talking about God's will, His desire, His longing for you, what God wants for you in your life and in the lives of your family members and friends. God wants us to do His will. That's why He gave us a book. God gave us the Bible so that we could learn what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And as we learn that, then we begin to live it. We begin to do what the Bible says. We begin to live what we learn. And that's when, Brother Joshua says, that's when you become successful as a child of God. When you do what God wants, when you do what the Bible says, then shalt thou have good success. Success for the believer is doing the will of God. Now, are there other verses in the Bible that talk about this? Absolutely. Now, they don't use the word success, but they certainly convey the idea of success. Let me show you a couple. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I'd like for you just to turn there for a moment and look at a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 7. Write this down in your notes if you're taking notes this morning, and look at verse 24 and 25 of Matthew chapter 7. Tell me if the idea of success is not mentioned here. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you know all these words are in red. Jesus says, "I will liken him," the one who's obedient, "I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." That sounds like success to me. Success as a builder, but he's not talking about home building, although he used that as an illustration. He's talking about life building. You want to build a great life? One that won't collapse under the pressure and the trials and the temptations of life? Jesus said the way to do that is to hear the sayings of mine, the Word of God, and do them. When we do what the Bible teaches, when we do what is God's will for us, then we're successful. Then we're prosperous. Hey, I'd say this man who built a strong house that withstood the storm, I'd say he was prosperous. But it doesn't mention anything about his bank account, does it? It doesn't tell us how much gold he had in his purse. No. Guess what? He's successful without that. He's prosperous without that. And we need to understand God's view of success and prosperity. There's more to life than making money. I'm not saying we don't need money. We obviously do, and it has its place. But there's more to life than that. If you sell out everything else for the pursuit of money, you're going to miss many things, including God's definition of success. So he's telling us that we are successful when we obey, when we carry out the will and the Word of God in our lives. Look at James chapter 1. Again, this idea, the same idea is reinforced. Tell me if this sounds like success to you, although the word itself is not mentioned here. In James chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 22, and we're going to read down through verse 25. And listen to how the Bible talks about the Word of God and our lives. Verse 22 says, But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, does that not sound like success? Certainly it does. This man, which man? The one who hears and obeys. The one who does what the Bible says. The one who continues in the perfect law of liberty, which is a reference to the Word of God. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Sounds like success, doesn't it? Notice in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, the Bible talks about doing the will of God. And it says in this passage of Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul is saying it's just the reasonable thing to do to give yourself back to God in exchange for what He's given you as a believer. Jesus gave everything. He died for you. He's not asking you to die. He's asking you to live for Him. Live a holy life. Live a life that's acceptable unto God. What is that? Doing the will of God. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That comes from the Word of God. That you may prove, that word prove means to demonstrate or to show, to manifest. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How can you demonstrate or prove the will of God without doing what the Bible says? You can't. But when you do what the Bible says, you do put on display the perfect will of God in life. And he's writing this, showing us that that is success in God's sight. So the Bible tells us success for the believer is doing the will of God. But the Bible also tells us the source of success. How do we find the will of God? How do we know what it is? How do we know what to do? Well, we come to the Bible. The Bible is our source. The Bible is our source to find the will of God for our lives. We find our place in His plan by reading the Bible and then applying it to our everyday lives. Notice in Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That word meditate means to contemplate, to consider, to think about. When we're talking meditation, I'm not talking about the meditation of the world, where you sit and try to get your mind blank of all things. That's phony stuff right there. That's just opening the gates of your mind to let whatever in. As a believer, we want to open our minds to the Word of God and we want to let God in. So when we're meditating on something specific. We're thinking about what God's Word actually says. We're thinking about what it means. We're thinking about how do we put that into shoe leather? How do we apply that? How do we live it out every day? That's what we're meditating on. And he said we're to do this constantly. We're to be thinking about how do I do what God wants me to do? How do I take what I've learned in the Bible today and then put it into practice? Meditating day and night, he says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make the way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. When we're doing what is written here. Because the Bible is our source. Hey, it's a great thing when you can come to church on Sunday morning and say, yes, Lord, I want to do God's will. Hey, that's wonderful. That tells me your heart's in the right place. But I'll tell you this, if you don't become a student of this book, if you don't get your nose in the Word and understand what the Bible says, though your heart may be in the right place, your feet will not, because you won't know what path to walk. You won't know what choice to make. The only way to be clear, because Paul made it clear, that living for Christ is not conforming to the world. And without God's specific instructions, we will conform to the world when we should be standing out for Christ. We have to know this book to know His will. So let's become a student of God's Word. It's our source. It's the place of understanding. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Have you ever scratched your head, felt in the dark, all alone, and said, "God, show me what to do"? What you needed was a light. And God's Word is that to us. It's a light to our feet, the Bible says. What does that do? It shows you where the next step is. And you know, often that's how God works. He doesn't light up the whole path a mile down the road of life. God often just lights up the step in front of you. He shows you the direction ahead, the next thing. Because you know what? If you won't obey that, then why would you think you're going to follow God a mile down the road if you won't take the very first step in front of you? You know, often God tests us. We're so quick to say, "Oh, Lord, I want to do your will." And God shines that light and says, "Really? Here you go. Take that step right there." And that becomes the test, whether or not we're really serious about following God. Think about Israel. There was a time in the beginning when God was shaping their faith. They came to that river, and God just parted the water and said, "Here, walk across on dry ground." But later, He didn't do that, did He? He tested them. He said, "I want you to go across the Jordan." But this time, He didn't part the waters until they went in. You know, they had to get their feet wet. They had to step into the Jordan, believe in God that He was going to make a way for them because He told them to. And that's what, by the way, that's what we call living by faith, obeying what God tells you. And the key to that is simply knowing His voice, knowing when God tells you to do something, and you obey it. Not because it looks good, not because you got it all figured out, but you obey it because God said so. So you step out in faith. That's what we call it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. I'm sure to them it didn't make sense that we're walking into water here. We know this is deep. But as they got about ankle deep, God began to push the water back. Amen? Sometimes God tests our faith and says, "Here, will you just take the next step?" And when we do, one step at a time, He begins to work. He begins to make a way. Often that's how He works. God tells us how to achieve success and who it is that can have it. It's the one who's obedient to His word and to His will. Success is achieved when we do what God says. I know you've heard me give examples before, but something that we're all familiar with is sharing our faith with others. When we witness to someone, we tell them about Christ and how He can save them, forgive them of their sins. And sometimes we may share our story, how we came to Christ, and maybe the person who helped us. We understand as believers that it is our responsibility to share the good news of God's salvation with the lost world. And we know we must do that. Now, we do love it when we talk to someone who's eager to hear the story. We do love it when we talk to someone who's ready to make that decision, you know, and come to faith in Christ and embrace Him for themselves. While we love that experience, it's not our responsibility that they embrace Christ. That is their responsibility. It's our responsibility just to tell the story, to tell them how they may embrace Christ. You know, sometimes we think, well, we're successful when we tell the story and the person becomes a believer. They trust Christ, they get saved, then we're successful. No, no, no. You were successful when you told the story. Because that is what God told us to do. You were successful whether or not they made a decision for Christ themselves before that time even came. Because God didn't tell you to make a decision for them. God told you to tell them how. That's it. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that bring a lot of relief to know that when I do what God asks me to do, I'm successful regardless of how it may turn out with them? Because their success depends on what they do with the information they've been given. You've been given the truth of salvation. You've been given the plan of salvation, as we call it. You've been given, the news of Christ and His death. Maybe some good Bible verses to go along with it. Someone gave you the gospel. What'd you do with it? If you obey the gospel and you believe in Christ and accept Him as your Savior, then you've been a success. But if you reject it and turn away, the person who told you about it has been successful. But if you've rejected it, then you have not. You might have a lot of money in the bank. You may have a nice house and a good job. You may have a government job, and it may be very secure with a lot of cushy benefits. But if you say no to Jesus, you are not a success in this life. I don't care how much money you have. When we realize how true that is, it sets us free, doesn't it? We begin to look at things, life, the world, a whole lot different. Because, you know, when we walk in the world, sometimes we start thinking like the world, and we begin to give authority and credence to all those who have the appearance of success. What they have is accomplishment, not success. Okay, so you've built an empire, and you have $1 million. Great, good for you. That doesn't mean you're successful. It means you've accomplished some things. You're an accomplished person. But God said you're a success when you do what He says. When you've done the will of God for your life. Do you remember the story of the man in the Bible? He was a rich man, very wealthy. He said, hey, as a matter of fact, he's speaking to himself and he says, soul, thou hast much goods for many years. Remember the story? And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear my barns down. And I'm going to build bigger barns because, man, I've got such a harvest. He said, I've got enough that I can put away for years to come. Remember what God said to him? He said, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. God called him a fool. Because God said, though you're rich in this world's eyes, God said you're not rich toward God. You've done nothing spiritual. You've done zero of the will of God for your life. Obviously, the man had never even received the gospel. He never believed on Jesus. And God is revealing to us, this man is not a success. He was a fool in God's eyes because he rejected the most important thing in life. Think about it. You know, sometimes as believers, we don't attribute enough value to what we know. Amen? Can I get an amen right there? We're intimidated by the world into believing that what we know as believers isn't really all that valuable. One of our presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, said this. He said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is more valuable than a college education. Think about that, friends. That was a president of the United States who said that. We know what God's Word says. And according to God, we're a success when we do it. The Bible says success is achieved when we do God's will. Joshua 1:8 says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt have good success. Romans 12:2. When we obey God's word, it says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's success in the life of a believer. When we are living out, we're living the life, the Christian life. And we're able to prove, to demonstrate to those looking on that this is it. How are we doing that? Just by obeying what God's word says. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word. Right? Because verse 25 said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hey, I'd rather have the blessing of God than $1 million in the bank. Don't get me wrong, $1 million would be nice. But if I had to choose, do you want God's favor and blessing or do you want $1 million? Well, I'm sorry, I'd have to take the favor and blessing over the money. Why? Well, because I can spend the money faster than the blessing will run out. The money's not going to help me get to heaven at all. It's not going to earn me any favor in God's eyes. Right? Matthew 7, verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Jesus said, I'll tell you who he's like. He's like a man who built a house on a rock. And when the storms came and beat that house, he said it stood. The house in that story is your life. How else, friend? How else is your life going to stand through the trials, the testings, and the storms of life? How else can you endure all of that without unless you do what God says? We want to be strong. The Bible says be strong in the Lord. We want to be secure. We're only secure in Him. The psalmist said, you are my fortress, you are my rock, you are my high tower. We run to God to find strength and help and hope and joy in the troubling times, the most troubling times of life. He is our sustainer. He helps us. God's word is clear that when we do what He says, then we're a success. You want to be a success in the world's eyes? Or do you want to be a success in God's eyes? Think about that. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, how we love you today. How we thank you so much for the clear direction that your word gives about this matter of success. Something that we're all encouraged to pursue and long for. And something, Lord, your word tells us exactly how to achieve. We certainly ask for you to work in our hearts. Give us the strength, the faith, the courage to commit ourselves to living out what we learn, to obeying your word and doing your will. As a believer, that is what makes us successful. And so we pray you'd help us now in Jesus' name.